Proverbs, middle of your Bible. If you find the Psalms, it's the next one over in your Bible. And I want you to look with me at one of the most famous Proverbs to be found this morning. Now, we've done a lot of thanking and recognizing, and that's a cool thing. And as I made at a spur of the moment plea to our guys and ladies in the sound booth to find me some batteries, man, they were quick on their feet and scurried around and got down. And you know, sometimes we just forget those guys and those ladies, because if they do their job really well, you don't know they're around unless, you know, I don't do my job well and ask them to do something at the last minute. So I thought it'd be appropriate today to let them know how much you appreciate them too, on the sound booth, back in the television room, on the cameras. Would you just let them know how much you appreciate them? Amen. And I hear all of those folks at home who meet us in hospitals and nursing homes and just guests in our community and new folks who we're clapping to for you who bring this service to them by television. Chapter 22, the book of Proverbs, verse 6, one of the most famous verses in all of Scripture, though many people probably do not even realize it's in the Bible. They've just heard it from their moms, their dads. They've heard it from neighbors and friends. It goes like this: train up a child in the way that he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. It's a proverb. It's set in the midst of the context of a lot of other proverbs. And so the context around it doesn't enlighten us a great deal to it, except simply to say to us that here is a truth that can be generally applied to our lives and to our families with great profit, and even has the blessing of God upon it. So I want to know what it means, and I want to put it to practice and to work in my life, and I bet you do too. Train up a child in the way that he or she should go, and when he or she is old, even then they will not depart from it. Boy, that sounds great, doesn't it? Now, obviously today we're talking about some sports programs. It's the biggest sports day probably in America, comes today with the Super Bowl tonight. We're talking about Upward Day this morning and cheerleading and basketball and all of the wonderful things. And this verse God laid on my heart for us today. Now, often on Upward Day, what we do is we focus on sharing the simple gospel with the children. And that's been done all week, and before this service is over, we'll talk about how you can receive Jesus again. But God laid this passage upon my heart because mostly in this room today are parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles and teachers and Sunday school teachers and people who work with children. So here's the verse for us. Train up a child in the way that he or she should go, and when he or she is old, even then they'll not depart from it. You know, there's some obvious stuff going on there, obvious implications from this verse. Let me give you one of them. One of them very clearly is that children need training. In our day and age, sometimes it has become the fad and the thought that you just let children raise themselves. And the Bible is simply saying, you train up a child in the way that he or she should go. And the obvious implication is that every child needs a loving, caring trainer who is going to train them up. Every child needs the direction that comes from training. They're not born knowing how to be productive adults, and they certainly are not born knowing how to trust God, to follow Him, and to love Him. And if they need training, then obviously there is a need for a trainer in their life. And when the Bible talks about a trainer here, the focus primarily is upon moms and dads. And if you were blessed to have children, God has placed a value and a worth upon you that is just far beyond anything you can imagine. We're going to talk about it in a minute, but understand this. Not only does a child need training and does a child need a trainer, but the reality is that every child will have it. Now, given this, if a child doesn't have a godly trainer, doesn't have a godly parent, doesn't have godly church members around them, they are going to find training. because a child is craving someone to show them how to behave. Now, I'm going to tell you, it may be a big purple dinosaur on television, right? It may be, for as long as I can remember, it may be Ernie and who are the rest of the Sesame Street folks? Bird and Ernie and Big Bird. What, who? Elmo, there you go. But I'm going to tell you, our children are going to follow somebody. And so the value of whom they follow can't be overestimated. In fact, I read an article this week, and I'm just going to be really, really blunt with you. Children are going to follow somebody. They're going to follow maybe friends if you don't set the leadership example for them. They're going to follow neighbors if you don't set the leadership example for them. And in our day and age, perhaps more than anything else, they're going to follow television. How many of you have a television in your home? Yeah. Most of us, you know, we're getting where we got televisions in our pockets and on our computers. And so that media is really going to play a role if we're not careful. I've got an article coming out of the news this week. It says, and parents, you'll understand this. Children, you may not. In fact, I kind of hope you don't. Here it goes. Glee star Lee Michaels, sexy switch has moms mad. Now, this is all about a 20-something-year-old star on a popular television show who has posed in some provocative ways, and now moms are up in the air, a whole group of moms, up in the air over the fact that this lady needs to be a role model for their children. Let me just read something to you. It says, I think, this is quoting one of the moms, I think Lee Michael is sending the wrong message. She plays such a good girl on Glee, and a lot of kids look up to her persona. Then she poses very provocatively in two magazine covers, which make my almost 13-year-old son very confused and offended. Mom, Dad, last time I checked, televisions have an on and off button. And there, just because a program comes on and even has actors playing like teenagers on it, does not mean it's appropriate for teenagers. There's a lot of stuff on television that's not appropriate for you and me. Amen? So I gotta wonder. 13-year-old son, probably shouldn't be watching Glee. And I'm pretty sure he doesn't have his own subscription to Glamour magazine. But you check it out and see. Here's a quote. Here's another quote. TV show watched largely by teens and preteen viewers, this is the opinion, has a responsibility to their kids. But I'm going to tell you, and I agree, there's a responsibility that is usually not borne by the producers of television shows, but that responsibility doesn't sit squarely upon their shoulders. God has put that responsibility on our shoulders as parents, even as grandparents. Can I plead with you that children need a trainer? It's an obvious implication, and they need training. They will get that training. They need a trainer, and you're that trainer. And God loves that in you. Children's lives are set early by training. And the bent that they receive will stay for a lifetime. That's what this verse is really all about, where it says, train up your child in the way that he should go. The picture there in the language is of a bent. Bend them in the right direction. Put up that next sign for me. In yards that I've been in, and in parks, there often you'll see a tree like this. I don't know if you can see it very well, but the tree, if you look at it, it goes up a couple of feet, and then it bends all the way, well, if you're looking at it, it bends to the right, doesn't it? And then it shoots straight up again. I want to ask you a question. Could you get the strongest man in the world to come unbend that tree? No. Because that bend has been shaped in that tree from its earliest life. It grew that way, and nothing is going to pull it out of it. That's what the proverb's talking about. Bend the child properly in the direction that he or she should go when they are young, understanding they need training and they want a trainer. And when their lives are set early in the principles of the Lord, then when they are old, they will not depart from it. Can I tell you something, moms and dads? You are so valuable. In fact, I want to talk to you about the value of a trainer. It is a Super Bowl Sunday, and so I was looking at some articles this week. Do you know how much football coaches make? They make like over $20 an hour. They do. In fact, I got some examples for you. 10 highest paid football coaches. This is the coach of the Atlanta Falcons, Mike Smith. 3-year extension to his contract is worth between $8 and $10 million. For coaching a football team. Wow. Now, you're probably going to know this next guy. There are reports that the Tennessee Titans are paying Jeff Fisher $4 million not to coach. Yeah, not to coach. I would not coach the Titans for $3.5 million. I'm telling you. They could have saved $500,000 by paying me not to coach. Wow. Bill Belichick, Patriots coach, says makes $7.5 million. I won't take long here. Redskins coach Daniel Snyder makes $7 million, apparently a year. Southern Cal's former coach now at the Seahawks, Pete Carroll, makes $6.7 million a year. Mike Tomlin won the Super Bowl his second season with the Steelers, makes $5.75 million a year. Ken Wisenhunt, former Georgia Tech star, now with the Cardinals, $5.75 million a year. Longest tenured coach in the NFL now, Andy Reid, makes $5.6 million a year. Tom Coughlin with the New York Giants is making $5.25 million a year. Jack Del Rio being paid $5 million a year with the Jaguars. Lovie Smith with the Bears in the Super Bowl, $4.8 million a year. Wow. This is unbelievable, isn't it? I mean, I can't really fathom that. But let me tell you something about value. Your value. The value of a trainer in the life of a child is more than any one of these coaches makes. In fact, I want to tell you that according to God's word and the talk and the words that are placed about parents and moms and dads and children rising up and calling their mothers blessed and dads standing in the gate because their children have given them power and authority in the community because of their well training. The scripture says it in these kinds of ways. In God's estimation, mothers and dads are more valuable than any coach of any sports franchise ever or ever will be. God thinks of you that way. Your estimation as a believer and as a person, God says, you've seen the birds and the sparrows of the sky, and not one of them falls without God knowing it, and God provides for them clothing and food, and do you not realize that you, as a believer, as a person, are more valuable than all of those? And I'm going to tell you, as someone who has been given the responsibility and the privilege to raise up the precious commodity of children, the precious gift, I should say, of children, you are more valuable in God's estimation than any of those. One reason is because in eternity's impact, what you do in the life of a child is so much greater than what any of those coaches do with the life of a team. At best, they may win a Super Bowl, and it'll be all forgotten. And in heaven, who will care? But when you raise up your children, your grandchildren, in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, and even one of those children, because of your influence upon them, comes to Jesus, the Bible says that all of the angels in heaven celebrate because of what you have done and what has happened in the life of a child. That's pretty cool, right? Amen? You have the opportunity to mold a world and to mold eternity and the life, or eternity in the life of a child, by your impact and your influence. And I'm just going to tell you, moms and dads, there's nobody more valuable than you in the work of the kingdom of God because of your value in the life of your child. Let me tell you that. What you do, what you say, and the impact you make is more valuable and makes you more valuable than anything else. Do you realize how valuable you are? God counts you more valuable than any of these coaches. Well, let's look back at the verse for a minute. And just think with me for a moment about the presuppositions of training. Train up a child in the way that he or she should go, and when he or she is old, he or she, the child, will not depart from it. You know, that tells me something about training. It doesn't matter if we're talking about basketball, or we're talking about baseball, or we're talking about football, or we're talking about life. The end of training has a great deal to do with the goal of training. The goal of training. The outcome is often predetermined by the goals. Unfortunately, in our day and age, too many parents either don't have any goals or they've set up the wrong goals. So think about goals with me for a moment. So often in our culture, in our society, the greatest goal of a parent, and I'm just talking about generally, not in the church and not of you perhaps, but the greatest goal of a parent is that a child will grow up and be wealthy. They'll have everything they want in terms of material value. And if you train up a child like that and they gain everything with education and status and wealth, and they live, oh wow, in this day and age, maybe they'll live 120 years and then they die without Christ for eternity. What value is any of that? Nothing, is it? So think with me, and with me reevaluate your goals for your children. What is the thing that you set as the highest priority for training in their life? Because I'm going to tell you, what they see in you and hear from you and where you're heading them is probably where they're going to go. So if your value is education, they'll probably be educated. If your value is money, they're likely to have money unless everything tanks like it seems to be doing. And if your value is something else, it may be something else, but is your goal that little boy or girl will grow up to know Jesus and walk in the knowledge of their faith in godliness and trust in Him? Shouldn't that be our first and highest goal? And when we fall down on our knees at night and when we pray for our children, shouldn't our greatest prayer not be, oh Lord, just make their life easy or make their life healthy, but oh Lord, let them know Jesus and let them know Him for eternity and let them be saved and let them walk in the joy of knowing Him. Wouldn't that be the best thing? Boy, that's my encouragement to you this morning, is that you set those trainers' goals correctly as knowing God and following Him, and that you measure their success and yours by how well they do that. Now, if we're going to do that, you need to know the importance of a trainer's competence. They're not going to hire a new coach for the Tennessee Titans or any of the other sports teams without checking and knowing that coach knows his stuff. You're going to have to know the rules. No matter what Chris said to us earlier in his testimony there. They're going to have to do like Chris. They're going to have to go learn them if they don't know it. And here it is with parents. If we're going to train our children in godliness, then we need to be competent in godliness. We need to make sure that we know the Lord, that we trust Him, that our faith and knowledge of grace is growing, that we're consistently involved in the quality of our own spiritual life because we can't train them if we don't know. And that doesn't mean that we ought to be condemned if we don't know everything about the Bible or even don't even know where all the books in the Bible are. But what it should say to us is that every coach, every trainer, and every godly parent worth his or her salt is consistently and consciously aiming to know more about Jesus, more about His Word. They're consistently in worship. They're consistently in a small group study because they want to grow in Christ, understanding that in order to raise children who are godly, we need to know what real godliness is. To teach them faith, we need to be competent in faith. Here's the thing. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. Understands the reality that training is more often caught than taught. You probably heard that before. Say it with me. It's more often caught than taught because we tend to follow examples. Importance of a trainer's example cannot be overestimated. I can't tell you what joy I had when I walked into my son's college dorm room last week and went to visit him just for an evening and walked in and was looking around. Now, I couldn't take great pride in the straightness of the room. But on the back of his door, there were two things he put to see every day before he walked out the door. One was a passage of scripture about godliness, and the other was one of his dad's favorite poems, Rudyard Kipling's If. Do you know the poem? Wow. The deal is, it's more caught than taught. Paul would write to the Philippians, "Brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have set before us." Heard some sad news today. Saw it in the paper this morning. I don't want to make a bummer, but Uga died. Do you know who Uga is? Yeah, the University of Georgia's mascot. A white English bulldog. It wouldn't be quite as sad, except Uga 8, who just died, was only the official Uga for about 8 months, because Uga 7 died last year. And you wonder why Georgia's having a hard time. Uga died. Now, I know Georgia's not your all-time favorite place, but back in the 70s, when I was growing up, Georgia was known for a vaulted defense. They were known as the Junkyard Dogs. Anybody know who was the coach of the Georgia defense back then? Irk Russell. Let me show you Irk's picture. Bring it up. This is Irk. Now, Irk left Georgia, went on to Georgia Southern, and coached that team as head coach to a number of national championships. And this is his black and white. You can't see it, but if you look on Irk's bald head, that's blood. And if you look on his white shirt, that's blood. You know why? But because before the game, Irk Russell would get out there with his defensive players, his defensive line, in their uniforms, helmets and pads, and he would go one-on-one with every one of them, helmet to head. And so before every game, his head was bloodied where he'd been hitting the helmets of his defensive players. Smart? But an example, you better believe it. And in those days, like none other, Georgia had a defense that was top notch. What am I saying to you? That our children catch more from what we do than they hear what we say. Because the importance of a trainer's example cannot be overestimated. Train up a child in the way that he or she should go, and when he or she is old, even then, they will not depart from it. Is a word about how valuable each one of you are as parents and grandparents. And it's a word about how much need our children have for us to set a word and an example for them. The greatest example would be that you know and follow Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Can I very simply tell you how you do that? The Bible plainly says that God is perfect and holy. And then it says this, there is none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned, that's talking about us, and come short of the glory of God. And then it tells us that the wages of sin is death for us, for our children. Because God is perfect and holy, and we are not, His heaven cannot be stained by our lack of holiness. And yet the Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And it's the truth that Jesus came from heaven, died on that cross in my place and in your place, the perfect holy Son of God. And His death covered my sins if in faith I give my life to Jesus. For the Bible says He came into the world and the world did not know Him. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become the children of God, even those who believe upon His name. It's a transition and a transaction of faith in which I'm willing to confess that I'm a sinner, believe that Jesus died on the cross for me, and turn my life over to Him for forgiveness. If you've not done that as a parent or a grandparent, can I tell you the most important part of your fulfilling this verse this morning is to receive Jesus. And the second most important would be that you be involved in a godly growing church. We're not the only one in the community, but if you're not already involved in one somewhere, can I encourage you to come and be involved in this one? I'm going to ask you to stand with me this morning. As we have this time of invitation, it's a time where you might simply want to come to the altar and pray for your children or grandchildren or your Upward basketball team prayer partners. The altar is open for your prayer. But there are going to be ministers here at the front who would love to talk with you no matter your age and no matter whether you attend here regularly or this is your first time. If you're interested, if you want to, give your heart to Jesus and begin to follow Him. Train up a child in the way that he should go begins right here with you and with your trust in Jesus that becomes an example for them. So as we began to sing, if you'd like to give your life to Jesus or make this your church home, I'd invite you to come forward and share with us that desire. Let us show you in the Scripture what that means as we sing together, you respond to the Savior.